going to read Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. And then we're going to read here just a little bit later some other verses that we read from Psalms. Psalm 126 and verses 5 and 6. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, this was a key verse that was used by Charles Finney in the Second Great Awakening in the late 1800s, 1860, 1850, somewhere in there. When Finney was preaching and was a revivalist, in for the most part in the eastern part of the United States, but Finney's meetings resulted in over a million souls being saved. You talk about a revolution, a revival that took place, and this verse was a key verse. He preached that this verse everywhere he went. And it was a verse that stirred the hearts of people to revival, to a move of God. And the end result was fruit that remained, and lives that were changed. And so he dealt with the fact that our hearts are like this fallow ground, that our hearts can be like ground that has been plowed, but then it's been a long time since it's been plowed again. So as a result, it's gotten hard. It's got kind of crusty, and whenever rain falls like it did this afternoon, it falls on that hard, unplowed ground, and the rain just runs off because it can't seep down into the earth, because the ground has not been broken up again. And the seed can't be sown effectively because the ground has not been broken up. So as a result, no fruit. No fruit because of the ground that was not broken up. And Finney compared our hearts to that fallow ground, that unplowed ground, that it become hard and unresponsive. And so, do you know it's possible, according to Finney, it's possible to come to church, sing songs, worship the Lord, clap your hands, lift your hands. It's possible to go through all the motions of worship and service to the Lord, and for it not to really have much depth to it all, at all. It can be shallow. It can be empty. It can be lifeless. It can be unproductive. And that's not what we desire to see happen in our lives, is it? It's not at all. And so he compared our hearts and our minds to that fallow ground. And it's quite easy over a process of time. Doesn't take very long at all for your heart to become that hard, unbroken ground all over again. And this is a topic that I've preached over the years a lot of times. But it has to be brought back to our thinking and to our hearts again and again and again, because of the reality is that it doesn't take very long for your heart to get hard. It doesn't take very long for you to get to the place that you can go through the motions, you can sing the songs, you can pray, you can worship, you can do all these things, but they not really have the depth of meaning that God intends for it to have. Amen. So Finney would go in to these meetings and he would preach to the people about their hard hearts, and deal with them about the things that they've allowed to cause their heart to get hard all over again. really, the whole process of breaking up your fallow ground in the spiritual sense of that is that you are going through the process of self-examination and looking very close with honesty at your own heart, your own spiritual condition. And then when God by his Spirit reveals those areas of your life that that are causing you to be unresponsive to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, that you repent of those things, that you are broken before the Lord, and God by his Spirit breaks up the fallow ground of our heart. Amen. Now, I generally am not a crier too much. But the last couple of weeks, I've probably cried more than I have in a long time. A lot of us have had a broken heart. A lot of people all across the whole Pentecostal movement, widespread, our hearts have been broken. And the thought that was on my mind as I was traveling down the road Wednesday was, Lord, I don't want my broken heart to go to waste. I don't want it to go to waste. I want my broken heart to produce some fruit. I want it to make a difference in my life and in the lives of the people of our church and of this community and of the kingdom of God that we are responsible for. And so with my heart broken and your heart broken, it's a good time to do some self-examination. It's a good time to look closely and honestly at where you are in your walk with the Lord and where we are as a church. And I understand, you know, our church is, we've got a lot of wonderful people here. We're blessed. I understand. I'm not saying that we are not good people, because I mean, we've just got lots of wonderful people here in the church. But with that being said, I do believe that probably without exception, every one of us need to take some time to really take a close look at our lives and our hearts, to do some self-examination and to be really honest before the Lord about what's going on in our spiritual life. And have we allowed ourselves to get hard and unresponsive? Have we allowed ourselves to get to the place that we're just not moved like we have been in the past? And I want to encourage you to do a search of your own heart. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. You see, he knows your heart better than you know your heart. He knows your heart, and he can reveal those areas of your heart. Search me, O God. That's what David said. Know my heart. Try me. Put me to the test. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. It's quite easy, and I'm guilty. We're all guilty of this. It's really easy for all of us to take a look at other people and do an examination of others. And I can look at you and I could probably pick out some flaws pretty quickly, and you can do the same thing looking at me. We're pretty good at that. We can see our own, we can see the weaknesses of others, the failures, the shortcomings of each other. It's just pretty obvious. We can do that. And we sometimes may do that. We're capable of inspecting others' lives when at the same time we're blind to our own failures, blind to our own shortcomings, our own failures, our own weaknesses. And that's why the psalmist was saying, search me, know my heart. Reveal if there's some wicked way in me. Lord, lead me in the way that is right. Lead me in the way that leads to everlasting life. Lord, deal with my heart, search my heart. And that's what Finney would preach as he went all up and down the eastern coast of the United States of America, preaching to them, break up your fallow ground, break up your fallow ground so that the seed can take root, so that the rain can seep down deep, and so that there can be fruit in your life and show fruit of repentance in our lives. So I'm asking the Lord to help me personally. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to do a self-examination. Help me to look closely. And Lord, just turn on the light. Turn on the bright light, the searchlight of your spirit, and reveal any areas of my life that are not pleasing to you. And Lord, help me to repent of those things. And Lord, just break up the fallow ground. Don't let me waste this broken heart. Don't be, Lord, waste this time that you have dealt with us so deeply through tragedy and sorrow. And help us, Lord, to use this time, Lord, to see the ground broken up in our hearts so that we can hear the word of the Lord and receive the things of God. And the seed will take root in our life. Amen. Some have criticized Finney because they thought that he took too many. He believed that there were steps of action that you could take to accomplish this breaking up the fallow ground. And he went through a number of things that he said that you should do in this self-examination. He said that if your heart is hardened and you have neglected your love for God. And what that means is that you have replaced your love for God with your love for other things. Whatever that might be, that you have replaced your love for God. Can you imagine how the heart of God, how he feels when we go after every other thing of this world? When we pursue all these things, and how we must break the heart of God. Can you imagine how you would feel if your spouse was going after other loves? Can you imagine how your heart would be broken if that was happening? That's how the heart of God feels when we pursue other things and other loves. And Finney said, break up your fallow ground. Don't allow your heart to go after other things and other loves and other affections. But have a pure and a sincere heart for the things of God. He said, don't neglect to love God. Don't neglect prayer. See, your prayer is your connection to God. It's your communion with God. And again, the analogy of how would it be if in your relationship with your loved ones, your spouse, if there was never any communication, there was never any conversation, there was never that closeness in fellowship. That's how the heart of God feels when we don't pray, when we neglect to seek the Lord and to pray. So, Lord, forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive us, Lord, for loving every other thing more than we love you. Neglect of the things of God, such as the house of God. Oh, it's a wonderful blessing and privilege to be able to come into the house of the Lord and to not neglect the house of God and the presence of God. Oh, we must not neglect the things of God. Finney said that we have, our heart is hard. Our ground, the heart, the ground of our heart is all fallow and unbroken. When we have no thought of those that are lost, we don't think about the unsaved. We have no compassion for people that are lost. And we need to break up our fallow ground. So once again, we have a desire and a compassion to see those that are lost and bound in their sins come to Jesus. And then we have a love for the lost and a compassion for people that are held fast in bondage of sin. God help us to break up the fallow ground. Amen. Finney said we need to break up the fallow ground of our heart if we have neglected to watch our conduct. And even our speech and our language, that we've allowed things to slip into our life. We've accepted things that break the heart of God. And we allow these things to come into our life. And we are not following wholly after the Lord. And our conduct and our speech and our language betrays us. And we are not in a position that we are being honest before the Lord in the way that we live and our lifestyle before the Lord. Finney said, you need to break up your fallow ground if you're worldly minded and you're after ambitions of the world. The things of the world have grabbed your affection and your attention, and you're after the world more than you're after the things of God and the Word of God. God, help us. He said, you need to break up your fallow ground. If you've robbed God, you've wasted time that could be time given to the Lord, given to ministry, given to the things of God, given to the presence, God. We've robbed God even with the things that we offer to the Lord, our offerings and our giving and our sacrifice. And so Finney would go down through these things and call people to repentance, call people to cry out to God. It doesn't sound like a revival. It sounds like a lot of sadness and a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow. But all that preceded the rejoicing. All of that preceded the move of God and the working of God. This morning when we were talking about Cyrus, the king of Persia, one thing that I forgot to mention was that it's believed by the historian Josephus. He believed, and I don't know exactly what his point of reference was, but he wrote in his history writings that Daniel, who was down there and who had been a servant to all of those, to Nebuchadnezzar and to Darius and to all of these, and now to Cyrus, who was a servant to him, it's believed that Daniel read those scriptures from Isaiah to him. He read the word of the Lord to him. And that's the reason why that the heart of Cyrus was stirred to do the will of God. That's why Cyrus said, I'm going to build the house of God in Jerusalem. He was a pagan, but the word of the Lord broke his heart and stirred his heart and motivated him to do something that he would have never done before. That's the power of the word of the Lord, isn't it? That's the power of the seed that takes root in the heart and can change your life and my life. I have to tell you, I've told these experiences before, but there's been many times over the years of my Christian experience that I've been on the pew listening to preachers, and those messages have so penetrated my heart, it turned my life, completely turned it in another direction, completely set me on a whole new course. Just someone who preached the word of God, and my heart would be broken in the pew, and I would hear the word, and the seed would sink deep down into my heart, and it produced fruit in my life. It changed me. It turned me from the direction that I was going, and that's my prayer even tonight in this service, that the word of the Lord would take root in your heart, and that the fallow ground of your heart would be broken up, and that you would realize that God wants to bring forth fruit in your life and change you and set you on a whole new course, a whole new direction. Praise God. Folks, we must not waste our tears. We must not waste our broken hearts. Right now, that provides the perfect soil for the seed to take root. It provides the perfect soil. When the ground of your heart has been broken up, it's prepared us so that we can receive the word of the Lord, and we can be changed, and we can become fruitful, we can be used of the Lord. Praise God. John chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, or that it would be lasting, it would be continuing. That's the will of God. That's why you were called. That's why you were chosen. That's why you were born again. You were saved so that you would bear fruit, that your life would bear fruit, and that that fruit would continue. It would remain. Amen. What does that mean? It means for the rest of your days, and even after your days are over, that fruit would continue, that fruit would remain, that you would bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The other scripture that I read to you Wednesday night was from Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Praise God. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Now there's some wonderful truths in those verses there. That there is joy on the other side of the weeping. Amen. Go ahead, if you break up the fallow ground of your heart, if you come around this altar tonight and you cry out to God and you confess your failures, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, and you repent of those things and you're honest before the Lord, and it's okay to weep before the Lord. It's okay to spend some time in the presence of the Lord and allow the Lord to deal with your heart. And to break up the fallow ground of your heart. The end result is going to be later. There's going to be joy. There's going to be fruitfulness. Amen. Praise God. He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed. This psalm is talking about those that come back from captivity. And how that they didn't have hardly anything. And so the seed that they had was scarce, and it was precious. And to sow those seeds, sometimes it meant even taking food away from their children and their family. But they did it because they knew that if they sowed the seed, that that seed was going to multiply, and that there was going to be a harvest. And so they would go forth bearing precious seed or scarce seed, and they would sow that seed weeping because it was scarce and they didn't have much at all. But it says they would go forth weeping, bearing the precious seed. And then the scripture says they shall doubtless. That's the confidence that we have. That's the promise that Finney preached. That if you would repent, if you would confess, if you would weep before the Lord, if you would be broken before the Lord, if you would allow God to break up the fallow ground of your heart, then the seed would take root. Yes. Then the seed would bear fruit. And you would then come rejoicing because you would see the fruit of that sacrifice and of that the breaking of the fallow ground of your heart. That's a rare thing, I know, today, because most of the time in church services, we want a high-spirited service. We want rejoicing. We want to be glorifying and praising God. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but sometimes it's appropriate to weep before the Lord. Sometimes it's appropriate to repent, to cry out to God, to confess your failures, your sinfulness, those areas of your life that are not pleasing to the Lord, those very things that have caused your heart to be so hard and so unresponsive to the things of God. Just think about your own personal walk with the Lord. Can you come to church and not be moved? Can you come to church and your heart not be touched? Can you come to church and not be convicted? Can you come to the house of the Lord and not be stirred? I don't want it to be that way. I don't want it to be that way in my life. I don't want to come to the house of the Lord and it not be spiritually productive. I want something to change. I want the Lord to do supernatural things in our midst. I want to see fruit. Amen. Glory to God. I want to see fruit being born. And the promise is that if we'll break up the fallow ground of our heart, we'll sow those precious seed, we will doubtless come again rejoicing. Amen. Joy comes back to the house of God. Joy comes back to your life once again. The joy for the believer is to bear fruit. To bear fruit, that your life would be fruitful and productive and glorifying unto the Lord. That's what brings joy to your life. And that's what we desire so much to see. He'll doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Praise God. Amen. An arm full of sheaves, arms filled with fruit because of what God has done in our hearts, what he's accomplished in our hearts. I just pray that the same thing that broke the heart of many Americans in the 1800s, that produced a revival of a million souls, would also break our heart and help us to repent and to confess our need of help from the Lord. Amen. God, break up the fallow ground of our heart. Break it up, Lord. Break it up. Break it up. Lord, so when the rain is coming down, Lord, that it will sink deep and soften the ground so that the seed can take root and begin to grow, and that we would bear fruit in our walk before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that it would not just, Lord, just be unproductive. But I pray, Lord, that tonight your word from Hosea, your word from the Psalms would take root in our heart. And it would change us and produce life and fruitfulness in all of us. Hallelujah. Praise God.